B-Pod Studios.
Toucher and Rich.
Good morning, guys. How's everyone today?
Oh, it's just a day after day of delight.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Yes, thank you. 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. So I flew on Saturday. Because, like an idiot, I missed the chance to get on my flight on Friday because I thought that there would be no one at the airport, which I was right about. But if you take a rideshare, sir.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Toucher and Rich.
Good morning, guys. How's everyone today?
Oh, it's just a day after day of delight.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Yes, thank you. 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. So I flew on Saturday. Because, like an idiot, I missed the chance to get on my flight on Friday because I thought that there would be no one at the airport, which I was right about. But if you take a rideshare service, or not a rideshare service, but if you take one of those Uber or Lyft or whatever, they drop you off in this parking lot that's 55 miles from where you would normally go in. So it took a half an hour with kids to get down to the gate.
They don't mess around with that area. You know all the trouble that the city, like, you can lose your license if you end up, like, dropping off. That's become, like, a big deal, and it's pissed off a lot of, obviously, the rideshare people, but the city does not play when it comes
to
that area.
Well, the guy who took us on Saturday was kind enough to put us by the gate.
That's good.
So, because there's nobody there. The cops aren't going to do anything right now. There's no one there. But there were guys... I saw two guys in full-on hazmat suits that were flying. First of all, where do you get a hazmat suit? And second of all, what the hell is the hazmat suit going to do for you?
There's a hazmat suit store about two blocks from where I live.
Like, what is that going to do?
I'm not joking. You go to, like, any Army, Navy, like, surplus place? Oh, yeah. They got hazmat suits.
I've just been told in my ear that Lowe's and Home Depot are selling them as well. I just don't I don't understand what it's going to do for you. That if you're on a plane, you have to wear long pants and long sleeves and shoes. I don't understand really what the hazmat suit's going to do for you. And plus, it looks like the video Intergalactic by the Beastie Boys. It's very disconcerting at that point.
They look like meth makers.
Yeah, they look like they're making meth. And then all of a sudden, you're like, oh my God, come on, dude. Like, you're getting on a flight to Minneapolis. Let's relax a little bit about the hazmat suit that you're wearing. But, I missed the flight, and it was my fault. So I got to give it a second try the next day. And it was on the flight. It was non-eventful. But they come around when you get on the flight, and they give you a bag full of, like, food.
Mm-hmm.
Like food, and then they give you, like, a small water, and then you never see them again. So I would imagine being a flight attendant right now is the jam, because you don't have to do anything. You just got to sit there, ride on the airplane. That would be all right with me. There's no service. It's like being a waiter and getting tipped just by not even having to serve food. So, and like an idiot, I booked first-class seats because they were so cheap, and then I realized that no matter where I sat on the plane, I would have plenty of overhead bin, and I would have a whole row to myself. So, making mistakes. Making mistakes in the air. But if you are going to fly, it is not as bad as you would think it is. It is not overly uncomfortable. They get you up there, and they get you down. And you rock the mask. We have so many masks, so many different masks now. We've tried all kinds of them. We don't have the good ones, though, that bubble out. They're all cloth.
Oh, the N95s?
Yeah, the N90. You're not supposed to wear the N95s, though, are you?
Well, I mean, I know that the hospitals need them. I think that a lot of people donated to them. I'm not sure if they have enough now. I think that that's kind of gone away. But I think most people are getting the cloth masks, either the ones that, you know, you could buy that have like the Celtics logo on it, or the ones like surgical paper ones that are out there. So.
Yeah, if you're devoting a mask to the, like, if you're buying one that's branded, it's like a kid who wears like the, you know, the Red Sox yarmulke. Mm-hmm. But at least you know you're going to have that for a while. If you're buying something with like a logo or something you like on it, a mask, you're pretty much just saying, I'm wearing a mask for a long time. You're saying to yourself, listen, it's not enough to have this white or black mask. I need to get one with the Jacksonville Jaguars on it because I'm going to be rocking this thing for a while. That seems like you're kind of throwing in the towel at that point. So we'll see. We'll see what ends up happening.
Tennessee? Does it feel different? Like, I know you said that obviously on the way from the airport to where your parents are, there's not like a metropolis or anything like that. But I mean, does it feel different? Does it feel like this, everything's going on as normally, or any weird indication that it's in a completely different state than Massachusetts is?
I haven't been anywhere where there's like anything going on. We, you know, drove in, and then I've been just, like, they live in an area that doesn't have, like, a lot of shops and stuff. I mean, people are out on boats and stuff, a lot of people. And you can tell that families have come down here, like, younger families have come down here because they'll see the grandparents and the kids on the boat. But that's all I've seen is water traffic. So I haven't been anywhere. I told my parents I wasn't going to go to any restaurants or anything like that. So, and the liquor store is far away, so you can only make that trip like once. So we've loaded up on liquor.
So I can just see there's probably a lot of people who are like that, are just, I'm only coming here once, and I won't have to come back till the pandemic's done, and everyone looks like Nicolas Cage at the beginning of Leaving Las Vegas.
Yeah.
They've got like the shopping cart and they're dancing.
Yeah, I wish. Yeah, I wish. No, but yeah, I haven't been anywhere that I would notice anything like that. I'm not even sure if you can eat out here. I don't even know what the rules with that are. All I know is that the one restaurant that's in the Knoxville airport is kicking. So I guess you can. But what is it called? Ruby Tuesdays.
Oh, I used to love Ruby Tuesdays. But the salad bar is going to be gone, though.
I know.
That was the best part of Ruby Tuesdays.
They're not going to have the salad bar, but the Tubes is open. I've seen people get kicked out of there drunk at 10 in the morning. So Ruby Tuesdays is still going strong.
Well,
of all the things I've done, I can tell you I've never been in an airport bar at like 10 in the morning getting kicked out. So that has not happened in my life.
Well, I'm bummed because like I had one of those Mother's Day FaceTime or what it's called Zoom things with everyone in our family and for Mother's Day, and everyone lives all across the country. I've got family in Kansas City, Florida, South Carolina. They're everywhere. But it seems like in all of those places, you know, first of all, it's like it's a party in South Carolina. Apparently, you can do like anything. Like there's no rules in Florida. Apparently, everyone's like going crazy. You know, it's like everyone's, you know. Like my sister was going out to eat at some restaurant where inside the restaurant, it's very strange. But then my mother was telling me that like her friend was like going house shopping. So like they're just going into people's houses with like real estate agents and stuff. And I'm like, the difference between what's going on here and what's going on down there is so stark. Like it's like almost going to be like weird once all of this starts happening. But the fact that, you know, I'm sitting there and they're telling me all these things, I'm like, dude, we're still on lockdown. There's still a curfew around here. We gotta like be inside by 9, and it's like basically like an orgy down in the South. It's very strange, but I know that this is weird because Dan O'Brien, producer Dan, has a sister who lives in Singapore. Now Singapore, again, this is they were at the forefront of all this. They were like the first, you know, like in December was when they, you know, got they had to lock down. I think it was either the beginning of January or the end of December that they started to lock down. And they just started things back up to the point where Shanghai Disneyland is open. And you want to see some weird videos. That's strange. Like everyone's walking around with masks and there's different like spots that you have to stand in line to get on the rides. And it's only a certain amount full. But the scariest thing about all of it is that they have in the parks now. Do you remember that video that came out about 2 years ago of that robotic dog that Boston Dynamics made?
Yes.
The one that can walk around and open up doors and go into all the different places like that. They, Singapore purchased a bunch of those from Boston Dynamics, and they are now roaming the park with a video camera and warning people to social distance.
I've been to that park.
Okay, so you've seen this.
What the hell is the point of that?
So what happens is if they see some, like a group of people that are too close together, this robot dog walks up to them and informs them that they need to separate and social distance.
Yeah, like a pre-recorded message.
Here, listen. Take a listen. This is what it sounds like if this dog walks up to you.
Let's keep Singapore healthy. For your own safety and for those around you, please stand at least 1 meter apart. Thank you. Please stand at least 1 meter apart. Thank you.
So
and then
just
it fires you full of lead.
Oh, my God.
No, you know what?
I'm running.
You know what happens?
The end of RoboCop.
Oh.
They go nuts. It's the rise of the machines.
They're showing off. Why the hell do they have to have a Boston Dynamics robot? They're just showing off.
He's called Spot, Fred. He's called Spot.
Of course it's Spot. Because it wants to humanize it before it takes over and starts outsmarting man.
And the scary thing about this, Fred, is that that dog looks exactly like the dog in the Black Mirror episodes that take over the world. Like, you've seen the episode, right? The black and white one called Metalhead, where the world is literally run by these robotic dogs, and they hunt down humans and murder them. And they didn't change any of it. As a matter of fact, speaking of Black Mirror, we're talking about drones and these dogs, they talked to the guy who created Black Mirror, and he was doing an interview recently, and they said, when are you going to do more episodes? And he goes, not for a long time. Things are already way too effed up as it is. Nobody wants our vision of how much more effed up we can get. And he's right. It's like this is, it's almost like all of this has led to an opening for there being some sort of weird, like someone could take advantage of this and take us all over. And the robots should be enemy number one. Why are you doing, everything's effed up enough. Why are you releasing these cybernetic dogs to come spook you out in the middle of a park?
The thing is that they're showing off. Like, you don't need that. Like, how much do you think one of those things costs? Like $1 billion?
A ton.
Yeah, you don't need an animatronic or whatever the hell they're called, robot stupid dog. Have people come up. They say, you know, hey, separate. Ugh. Now I'm telling you, it's going to be the AC/DC movie. Who made you? Who made who?
The goblin truck coming at you, and, you know.
Yeah, the soda machine shooting
maximum
sodas.
Maximum overdrive, that's what
that's
it is.
That's right, maximum overdrive. All right, Jeff Howe, he works for The Athletic. He covers the New England Patriots. We'll talk to him in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Dutcher and Rich. Jeff Howe covers the Patriots for The Athletic. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Howe, hello.
How are we doing today?
Fantastic. How are the children?
Oh, just wonderful. Always well-behaved and never adding any adversity to this current situation whatsoever.
Yes, because they're how old?
4 and 2.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know what's worse, 11 and 9 or 4 and 2?
4 and 2. Don't even think twice.
4 and 2.
There's no question.
Like, without
there's
question.
No question. 4 and 2 would be the worst. Like, what's the, like, obviously, like, the 2 year old, boy, it's funny. It's been a while now. It's still at the age where they have to be attended to at all times. Like, it's tough to just sit the 2 year old down and just say, entertain yourself for more than 10 minutes, correct?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And for the last 3 weeks, anytime you say no or you tell her to do anything, like if you're just like, hey, why don't you just finish your breakfast? It's like a 10 out of 10 rage, you know, primal yell scream in your face that you are the worst human being that's ever existed. So, and that happens, I don't know, 35, 40 times a day. But you're right. I mean, we could send our four-year-old out back and be like, hey, go play on the swing set. And she would stay there and she'd be perfect. And we'd never have to worry about her for like 10 straight hours if we wanted to. If we put the two-year-old out back, she'd be, you know, there's a house being built across the street. She'd probably run around out front and start jumping into the machinery and, you know, dig a hole in the ground.
Yeah, yeah. I think, Fred, you've been far enough away from 2 years old to forget just what hell it was. You are attached at the hip to your child, and you can't get away. And one of you has to be with the child at all times. That, like, our kids at least can play video games or do something like that, and they're
right.
Okay. So, no, that yes. sucks. By the way, speaking of people making your lives hell, I got to give you a little bit of a shout-out because last night I'm going through my Twitter timeline, and I had no explanation as to what the scenario was, but there's a picture of Dane Cook that you've obviously taken off TV with a bunch of pictures of Dane Cook behind him with Dane Cook records and Dane Cook posters, and all you wrote was, shocked he made this all about himself. I don't know what this is from or where you got it. All I did is made me remember that sweet, sweet time you and Dane Cook had a nice little back and forth on Twitter.
It wasn't really a back and forth because he didn't acknowledge my existence, but there was a lot of back, I guess. But yeah, I turned on some charity. Of course, it was a charity thing, and Dane Cook made it all about himself. I don't even know what it was. I was just like, I was making some dinner, and I wanted to put some background noise on the TV, and I saw there was like some comedy charity thing going on like one of the networks. So I put it on, and within 2 minutes, he shows up in front of a wall of plaques dedicated to himself. And I'm just like, everybody else, I mean, I watched the show for like 10, 15 minutes, and it was terrible. But like everybody else who was on it was in like a blank, empty room. And Dane Cook is in the middle of a shrine of Dane Cook.
Well, when you have that many awards and accolades, yeah. I mean, how do you even get away from them? I mean, they're everywhere you turn. It's not like you can just leave a room and not have anything that's devoted to him. Like, Lord.
Swimming at him.
I just
that's
thought
right.
it was an amazing flashback. I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that time that, like, you were really mad at Dane Cook, and then like listeners were like writers or other people on Twitter were they mad at you or were they with you? I just know that it was just a nice little retro throwback there, Jeff.
Oh, that was so last night. Nobody, I mean, it seemed like nobody understood what I was talking about last night, which is kind of funny. But it was more of like I put it in a follow up tweet because clearly it went over everybody's head. But it was a shout out to everybody from back in 2013, which was when everybody obviously understood because that was for the Boston Strong thing when you know everybody did the their performance at the Garden and it went on TV and then Dane Cook or it went on the live stream on the internet. And Dane Cook came up, and he made sure it was blacked out because it was going to be a skit from his upcoming tour, and he didn't want anybody to see it for
that's
free.
Right. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yep. Mm-hmm. I do remember that. All right.
Well, and now his brother took all his money. So there you go. He's paid the fiddler. All right. You got an article about N'Keal Harry. What does he think he has to work on? Why is he confident that he will be better next season? What's going on over there?
Yeah, he recently joined up with Dwayne Allen's younger brother, Justin Allen. Started about 2 weeks ago training with him down in Houston. And they've known each other for a few years. I guess they've always tried to, or they've been kicking around the idea of working together. But, you know, having a lot more downtime nowadays is why they made it work. But one of the things that I thought was interesting was just getting his footwork better to prevent some of the lower body injuries that he was dealing with last year that basically wiped out the vast majority of his rookie season. You know, having more control, keeping your steps underneath you more than allowing your feet or your ankles to spread out outside of your hips, which, you know, I guess there's a lot of science behind that. And when you do things like that, you're going to take off some of the wear and tear, and maybe you'll minimize the chance for some of those injuries, like the ankle that set him back last year. Remember, I mean, he was having a pretty good, like his chemistry with Brady was obviously off, but you could see the athleticism, you could see the power on the field, the way that he was able to separate himself athletically And then he had those back-to-back injuries in Detroit during the joint practices in the preseason and couldn't recover in time for the end of training camp. Patriots made the move to put him on IR because they just didn't see him contributing for at least the first month of the season. I mean, by the time he came back from that, it's like, how could you ask? There wasn't a rookie on the planet. It wouldn't have mattered who they drafted last year, who was going to be able to come back under those circumstances and be able to click right away with Tom Brady. So if he can have a healthier offseason, assuming once you know the world gets back to normal, if training camp starts on time and all that stuff, I think, number one, he's going to have better chemistry with Jarrett Stidham than he would have with Tom Brady. And then number two, if he can stay healthy, I think people are really going to start to see and appreciate that power that we were all seeing on the training camp fields.
Do you think that there's a benefit to being a young player and not having the stress of the greatest player of all time expecting something out of you when you step on the field and it being someone else and someone in your same position?
Absolutely. I really do. And I don't know if we'll find out at some point in the near future if that's for better or worse, but I think if as everybody turns the page on the Brady era, you know, that's always been the one critique of Brady, how many of these rookie receivers – now, trust me, some of the rookie receivers they've drafted were just bad picks and bad players, and it just didn't work out. But could any of these guys along the way have had a better career if maybe they didn't have to deal with that stress? And guys who have failed here have talked on the record about how difficult it was to get in line or to sync up with Tom Brady and the stress that came with that and the pressure of the studying and trying to make sure you brought it all onto the field. And then all of a sudden, you know, Brady even mentioned it a couple months ago or whenever it was that he would shut guys out if he didn't trust that they were going to be in the right spot, especially in key situations. So there is an element to that where I think you're going to have a young quarterback and Jarrett Stidham. You always see the young guys bond with each other. I mean, even thinking back to, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo and Brian Timms had great chemistry his first preseason in New England. Those young guys are always going to have better chemistry with each other because they're learning the whole thing together. So that is going to be a point where I think you should be optimistic, at least on the surface, with Stidham and Harry and what they can do together.
All right, you know, we joke about Julian Edelman and his love for Tom Brady. So you mentioned that, you know, these young guys are going to have, you know, be more comfortable playing with a young quarterback. What about a guy like Edelman? Do you see him getting frustrated that things aren't as automatic as they were with Brady?
I'm sure there will be some of that, yeah. I mean, that's just who Julian Edelman is. But I think the thing that's really going to benefit him, aside from just, you know, all the attributes that have made him a great player, is when you're a young player, a young quarterback, you really try to rely on your tight ends. And he's going to, you know, we'll see what the tight end's a hard position for a rookie to learn. And, I mean, even remember when Gronk and Hernandez had great rookie seasons. They caught 45 and 41 balls respectively. So it wasn't like they had like these massive 75 to 90 catch rookie years back in 2010. So we'll see what they can really grow to expect from Asiasi and Keene in year one. But what you really need is that guy over the middle of the field who, you know, is always in your vision, is always going to be right where you need him to be. So I still think that Edelman can have a massive year as the team's top receiver, just because he's going to operate in an area of the field where Stidham's going to really need to rely or to have some accountability just from a pass catching standpoint. So he will almost be like the tight end that Stidham is going to need to help grow in this offense.
All right. So Jeff, you wrote an article about this guy, Dalton Keene, obviously brought in tight end position, somewhat of a character, some interesting nicknames. What did you learn about this guy?
Oh, yeah, great. Great family. I mean, his dad was hilarious to talk to, really funny guy, great personality. But this is a guy who showed up basically day one at Virginia Tech looking like he just walked off the side of a mountain after a six-month trek. And he had the mustache, he had the long hair. They basically looked at him and they thought he was Sylvester Stallone, so they started calling him Rambo. Then they found out that he's got, like, this crazy work ethic and – you know, he's pretty quiet. The story kind of reminded me of like Trey Flowers when he was here, how Trey Flowers would always like do all these great things but be very quiet and humble about it. So like they had to make up this alter ego personality and they started calling him Billy Flowers every time he made a play. It's similar to Dalton Keene. Like he's not going to really ever be this braggadocious sort of guy, but everybody else sort of wants to celebrate his accomplishments because of the amount of work that he puts in. They started calling him the machine. You know, Swiss Army knife is more of a cliche nickname that everybody gets nowadays. But what a character. And my favorite story of this whole thing was the amount of, you'll look at Dalton Keene highlights, and 90% of them are blocks that he made. And he had this vendetta against this guy, Trayvon Hill, who actually the Patriots, his agent announced a few weeks ago, the Patriots signed as a UDFA, but I don't know what happened. That clearly fell apart. But he was with Keene at Virginia Tech for a few years, transferred to Miami, started talking a bunch of trash, went to the Virginia Tech graduation. This is Trayvon Hill. Throws up the U sign in front of the whole crowd. He's just one of those guys who just nobody, you know, a lot of people didn't like. So it's like the first snap of the Virginia Tech-Miami game, and Virginia Tech lines up Keene across from Hill, and he drives him 7 yards into the back, or, you know, 7 yards off the ball. And just he went after him to the point where the Miami coaches had to pull him off the field. And then later in that game, he was blocking somebody else, and I guess he blocked him off out of bounds off the sideline, waited for him to come back in, and then blocked him back out of bounds. And there was a Saints coach who was doing a pre-draft video conference call with Keene a few weeks ago, and he was like, you know what I love about you? I'm watching the Miami tape, and it wasn't the three touchdowns that you caught. It was the fact that, you know, you're doing all this stuff, and you're the biggest bleep on the field. And it was – I'm sure that's a word I'm not allowed to say on the radio. But the quote itself and the amount of energy and the passion that this coach had for calling Keene a phallical object while playing football it suited him perfectly.
Yes. Well, so is he like a tryhard, or is he someone that will enjoy?
Oh, it seems like he'd enjoy that.
Okay.
Yeah, well, he sounds like a Belichick. This is a Belichick wet dream, right? Like, this is the kind of guy, you know, he's a grinder. He puts in the extra work, right?
Oh, yeah, all those cliches. I mean, I think you can start it and end it in one spot. Belichick did two things that he very rarely does or never does. He traded a future round pick or a future year's draft pick to the Jets, of all teams, to move up to trade Dalton Keene. So if he's willing to partner up with the Jets for something, you know that's a guy that he likes.
All right, Jeff Howe from The Athletic. Enjoy your day with your 4-year-old and 2-year-old. And you know, at least you can get away. My wife is on my case. She's constantly following me everywhere I go to keep an eye on me. So that is its own little bit of hell. All right, take it easy.
You sure you guys don't want to keep me for, like, I can hide in the basement for the next 2.5 hours.
See, now I got nowhere to hide. I got nowhere to go. All eyes on me. All right, Jeff, take it easy. We'll be right back to the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Toucher.
Our only concern is your condition.
Rich.
This guy's a piece of work, huh?
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
98.5, The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Now, Rich, Cape Cod is a place of great joy to people. Some people, they go down there, they like the sharks. They like all those things that are going on, but it was not all paradise down there over the weekend.
Well, this is one of those times where, as a society, we need to not blow it. And there's going to be a lot more things slowly opening back up. We saw it with golf courses. At the end of the week, there's more than likely going to be an announcement, according to at least Marty Walsh and all them. They said the 18th, which would be Monday, that possibly next week you might slowly see more businesses start to open back up. And in those cases, if you are someone who truly wants the economy to get back working again and for us to kind of get back to normal, I believe, as a whole, we all need to make sure that we don't act like a-holes when it does, and of course ruin it for everybody. unfortunately, my faith was a little bit shaken that we can handle this when this story came this past weekend. There is a, if you've ever been down to the Cape, I mean, this time of year is when all of these awesome ice cream shops start opening. Like, there's just stretches of roads from, like, Falmouth all the way to Chatham where there's all these mom-and-pop ice cream places that rule, and they're packed, usually starting right around Memorial Day weekend, and this is usually when they open. Well, this one place in Mashpee, the Polar Cave Ice Cream Store, opened for a day, and then this happened. Let's let it roll.
And on Cape Cod, one ice cream shop finally decided to test out a to-go option under rules that are already allowed for restaurants.
The owner opened for just one day, but says he's closing again after his workers were yelled at by a number of impatient, angry customers. This comes as small businesses are trying to open back up safely.
Normally, ice cream puts a smile on people's faces, but the owner here at this shop says things got so ugly that one of his best employees quit. After one day of opening, they're now closing back down, only serving a limited number of customers until he says he can figure this whole thing out.
It was meant to be a quiet opening at Polar Cave Ice Cream Parlor in Mashpee to kick off Mother's Day weekend. The owner has been able to open up under restaurant guidelines, but wanted to wait until he felt it was safe for everyone. Still, Friday was anything but business as usual.
One of my best workers quit yesterday. At the end of her shift, she stuck it through the shift. But the words she was called and the language, you wouldn't even say it in a men's locker room. And to say it to a 17-year-old kid, they should be ashamed of themselves.
All right, here we go. All right, stop that. Okay, so here's the deal with people, is that the people that yell at staff are the most pathetic pieces of garbage, amen, especially a 17-year-old girl, because they are in a situation where they finally feel that they have some kind of power. The way that's, I swear to God, that's why my kids are working in the service industry. They are going to wait tables because you see what pariahs and what pieces of garbage these people are that come in. Yell, I want ice cream. Leave, stupid. I don't want ice cream coming fast enough. Leave. Leave. Well, you need ice cream that much? Shut up. Shut up and wait for your ice cream, you piece of crap. Oh, no. I want it now and it's taking too long. Shut up. Go. It's like one thing if you're like, you know, getting on a train or something, and you got to get somewhere. You're sitting around waiting for dumbass ice cream on a cold ass day. It snowed the other day. Shut up. God, these people are just such pieces of crap.
Yep.
Oh, I want it now. Oh, I want it. Ice cream. Big ice cream. Oh, no. By the way, you're an adult. You're just, what are you, four? The ice cream truck's coming? And you're running after it? I mean, seriously, like, who gets that excited about ice cream? Well, wow!
Fred, ice cream is great!
I think
you should let this gentleman speak because we might have a star. Let's let it roll.
Oh.
You wouldn't even say it in a men's locker room. And to say it to a 17-year-old kid, they should be ashamed of themselves.
Kyle Lawrence says they posted online that all orders must be placed an hour in advance. But he claims not everyone listened and instead took their anger out on his employees when they got busy.
Now I open the doors to a whole new world with gloves and masks and we running around like chickens. But people don't, they're like, where's my ice cream? I'm not a trauma center, it's ice cream.
The shop is now closed.
See? Great minds. Great minds. Like, can you imagine if you went there? First of all, like, where are you coming from? Like, New Jersey? Like, you obviously, like, live around there. Or, you know, are staying around there. So you get there, and they go, oh, I'm sorry, you have to order an hour in advance. So you have two options. You can go, maybe I'll have ice cream another day. Or yeah, you could say, I'll order it and come back. But that's not enough. I didn't see that. It's on the internet. I didn't see it. He's right. It's ice. Stupid ass. You're sitting there yelling about ice cream as an adult. Why don't you go chase the ice cream truck? Oh, boy. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Ice cream. Run. Gonna get a pop-up. Just getting yelled at, and then you're right, you're a kid, and they're like yelling at you, and even if you're busting tables, they're all yelling at you. Ugh.
I'm not a trauma center. It's ice cream.
By the way, we have Jay on line one. He says he owns an ice cream store, and he's dealing with the same stuff. Jay, what's up, man?
What's up, guys?
Hey, guys.
So I had an employee call me Saturday afternoon at like 12:30, freaking out because a father came in. He didn't call first, which we switched to phone ordering and online ordering. He didn't call first, and he berated her for 10 minutes.
Yeah, I mean,
she calls me. I can't believe you guys. I drove from Rhode Island. I can't believe you guys switched everything. What's wrong with you? How can you,
hang on a second. If you drove in from Rhode Island, call right now. Sit there and call if it's that important to you. Like you drove in from Rhode Island, and now you're saying to yourself, well, I can't wait the hour. I mean, I just drove up.
That's the thing. It's not an hour. It's like 10 minutes during that time of day at that time.
Sure.
Jesus.
I mean.
But people don't, they're like, where's my ice cream?
So, thank you, Jay. So this guy who owns the Polar Cave put on Facebook, he goes, as I turn the key in the lock tonight, my thought is that we simply shall not open to the general public until something resembling normal returns. In 19 years of operation, this is the lowest feeling I have ever felt. I will read all the posts and reply to them, but I lived it, and I can only imagine what awaits. We were overwhelmed, plain and simply, regardless of people's frustrations. To take it out on a teenage girl is simply wrong. It cost one of my best employees due to the rudeness directed at her tonight. So wrong in many ways to treat a teenager with such disrespect, no matter the circumstances. So, I mean, this guy, obviously, he shut back down again. And but although he got, like, obviously a good response after that news story went up there. But, I mean, just, you know what? We did this before, but now that things are opening back up, I think people need another primer. How do you not be a dick during the pandemic? 617-779-0985. If you're someone who's working right now and having to deal with the general public, whether you're someone who works at, you know, like a Home Depot, or you work at a grocery store, or you're a garbage man, or you're a delivery person, people do not know how to act appropriately around people who are putting their lives still in danger during the pandemic for whatever you want, whether it be something you truly need or ice cream. So if there's a lesson you would like to teach people, 617-779-0985, because we are not going to open back up fully until, I almost swore, crap like this stops happening.
This
pissed me off when I saw the story.
That what you do is you just act like halfway normal. That's all you got to do. The only way you can, if someone at a store tells you to F off before you've done anything, then you get yourself an issue. But here's what you do is you just, you don't say it, you leave. Leave. That's all you have to do.
To themselves.
That's right. They should be
all saying. You do is leave. That's all you got to do. If
but
you hate it so much, leave.
They got to have their ice cream, Fred.
No, you don't. I mean, that's ludicrous. God, stupid ice cream. Oh, people. Because they go, oh, now I'm the man. Now I got it. Now I'm going to really show this guy where I'm coming from. Stupid.
Well, that guy's going to open. Masks and we'd running around like chickens.
Like
by the way, I've never heard anyone whose accent goes from South Boston to British so quickly as that guy's done.
Yeah, maybe he's like Ice Cream Bono.
I like that.
But people don't. They're like, where's my ice cream?
Maybe that's Ice Cream George Harrison.
Ice Cream George Harrison.
You guys take it,
McCartney.
Instead of Cold Cuts McCartney.
Right, of course. The phones are getting flooded, which is good.
All right, very good. All right, we will be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
Quit yesterday. At the end of her shift, she stuck it through the shift. But the words she was called and the language, you wouldn't even say in a men's locker room. And to say it to a 17-year-old kid, they should be ashamed of themselves.
Kyle Lawrence says they posted online that all orders must be placed an hour in advance. But he claims not everyone listened and instead took their anger out on his employees when they got busy.
Now I open the doors to a whole new world with gloves and masks and we'd running around like chickens. But people don't, they're like, where's my ice cream? I'm not a trauma center, it's ice cream.
The shop is now closed to the general public and is doing limited car deliveries until Lawrence says he can figure out a new plan.
People have forgotten how to treat other human beings in the 6 or 7 weeks that they've been confined to their homes. They have no clue how to respect other human beings.
He says everyone should start with patience and kindness.
We're not claiming that we know what we're doing. We don't know what we're doing, but we're giving it a shot.
98.5 Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. That guy owns a ice cream shop in Cape Cod, and they tried to open
the old Polar Cave.
Yeah, and people were complete pricks, and one of his good employees, his 17-year-old girl, quit. So that is all going on. This is the way it is. I don't care if there's a virus or not. This is just the way people behave. Mike, go ahead.
Guys, what's going on?
Hey.
I work at a golf course on weekends, and, of course, we just got to open up this past weekend. And 95-98% of the people are absolutely fantastic. But you get that small percentage who were absolutely losing their minds about the golf carts.
Oh, yeah. That
really?
They can't.
What were they saying?
Well, we got a lot of complaints about American with Disabilities Act, and then people wanted us to pay fines and just let people take out the carts and just, oh, well, don't tell anybody. You know, you can just let me take out a cart when I get there. I'm like, no. No, it's a state mandate, not us.
Yeah. But, well, now, you know, the American with Disabilities Act, you can give them the cards, so now they can't yell at you about that no more. Patrick, go ahead.
Good morning. Just wanted to let you know, I work at a high-end car dealership, so these are definitely want cars, not needs, and I basically get berated on a daily basis for working within the guidelines that the state has given us. They're pretty strict. One of the things, you have to have an appointment in order to come into the showroom. Otherwise, the doors are locked. And just the entitlement, the just disregard, the disrespect, it's just, it's insane. I've never seen anything like it. It's absolutely disgusting.
What All right, mean, so they like, yelling? What are people saying to you? Yeah.
So it's just, you know, I had a daughter and her father berate me, last week. Because I told them it was going to take a couple days to get everything registered, plates, you know, everything completed. And that wasn't acceptable to them. I've had a guy tell me that I should be kissing his ass to sell him a car because of the market is so down, apparently. So he's telling me, he literally said I should be kissing his ass to sell a car. So, yeah,
so
that's just two examples that come to my mind. It's a daily basis thing. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, people are just, I can only imagine. I mean, people are just terrible. They were terrible before the virus. They're terrible after. Jake, go ahead.
How's it going, guys? Steak and eggs.
Hey.
I currently have the virus because I've been working during this whole mess. And basically what this revealed to me is that we're all a bunch of Neanderthals. I hope coronavirus takes over.
All right, there you go.
How are you doing, man? How are you feeling?
I'm feeling fine. The only thing I've had so far is just some minor tightness in my chest. I mean, I'm a young 27-year-old healthy guy, so I wasn't so much nervous about myself getting it, but passing it on to others. And just to keep it short and simple, my work wouldn't allow us back until we got the coronavirus test. And I didn't even realize I had the virus. And sure enough, I tested positive for it and scared the crap out of me because who knows how many other people I could have been in contact with. But anyways, stay safe, guys. Thank you for being on the radio, keeping me entertained, because without you guys, I basically have just been playing Madden for the past 5 weeks. That's how bored I've been.
Oh, well, hang in there, man. Well. I'm glad you're safe.
All right. Go ahead.
Real quick, I've got a couple tweets here. Someone says, I work at a home improvement store, and a far higher percentage of customers coming out during this pandemic are the dregs of humanity. I may have spit the words, quote, there's a pandemic, dumbass, at a few customers expecting normal service in the last week. Somebody said, try working at a bank where everyone's walking with a face mask, hat, and sunglasses, and don't understand why you have to ask them to at least remove the sunglasses. They flip their lid like you offended them if you ask.
Well, Lord knows if you don't have sunglasses on that you're going to get the virus. I mean, that's how it gets transmitted.
A trauma center. It's ice cream.
All right. No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.